Hello. You're making fun of me, all right? I gotta do it.
I didn't do it this time. Let's go. You cannot blame me.
There was a laughter.
I was silent.
There was
God. Go, Patrick. Go. Do your thing, dude. I love it.
Hello, hello. We are the Brothers Geek, and this is our podcast.
Woohoo! Yes, it is.
I am Patrick Schmaltz. I am one of the Brothers Schmaltz.
The guy with the awesome mustache.
Thank you. Thank you. And there's Andrew Schmaltz. Hello, Andrew.
Hello.
The guy with the inability to grow a mustache.
That's me.
And that other guy, that's Chris Schmaltz. Hello, Chris. The
guy who has a mustache that's older
Chris,
than Patrick.
Christopher?
Face layer is older than Patrick.
It's a salt and pepper mustache now. Salt and pepper.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It looks on the picture.
Jesus. All right.
For sure.
So we're off to a good start. We're geeks. We talk about stuff. This is our podcast.
Brothers. And brothers.
And that's, we're brothers.
It's kind of the point. It's in the title.
Yep. It's in the title.
So.
It's not a subtle title.
If you're coming to this podcast expecting, I don't know, like Home Shopping Network discussion, you're not gonna get it. Not gonna get it here. Oh, do you guys freeze up? Oh. I have to put a little worrisome.
It's a little worrisome.
No, you can't. The game isn't local.
Game isn't local. Yeah, Shane.
So,
that was a good opening.
Okay, so.
Gotta keep that.
Hold on. We dropped out because Shane Muyo, my friend here, was playing Destiny.
I've got to figure it out.
Yeah.
And,
pulling bandwidth. What
he's
doing.
He's pulling bandwidth.
Sucking bandwidth.
But that's okay. We're going to continue. We're going to hang in there.
We're going to charge ahead.
We're going to charge ahead.
Because we're pros.
We're pros.
We are 100% professional. Professional
podcasters. So it's not pro.
We don't get paid
far
for it.
From pro.
So, Andrew, you had a little news about True Detective. What was that? What was that news?
Andrew is my name.
Yeah.
I had some news about.
Wait.
Wow.
Wait. Oh. That's me. You're talking to me.
I
have information. Yes, the True Detective Season 1, the three of us very much enjoyed that. And they announced this week.
Oh, wait. Before you go on, I just wanted to tee it up, dudes, that I have a supplemental trivia question this week.
What?
Yes.
Double trivia.
I'm going to supplement. Andrew's a trivia guy. I'm not stealing his thunder, but I have a supplemental trivia question that is a callback to a previous episode.
Okay.
Yeah, chew on that, boys.
I'm chewing. All right. Chewing.
Like an episode of Brothers Geek or an episode of
Oh, wow.
But it's not necessarily a trivia
this
question.
This is very meta. We're going to have trivia meta. About it our own show.
It's not a trivia question about our show. It's a trivia question that was referenced, something that was referenced in.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's next level.
Next level.
It's good.
Okay.
It's good. Anyway, I just wanted to tee that up because that's coming.
It's coming.
Stay till the end, gentlemen.
On with the news.
So you can hear what the supplemental question is.
Please stick around.
We have talked about before in terms of rumors that were flying around about True Detective Season 2, and it has been confirmed this week that they have cast the two male leads for the Season 2, which will begin production, I don't know when, but hopefully very soon. I'm kind of chomping at the bit. Colin Farrell has been cast as a morally compromised, slightly corrupt detective, and it seems Vince Vaughn has been cast as a kind of an organized crime figure.
Interesting.
Who Colin Farrell has ties to. And it seems as though, from what I've been able to read online, Vince Vaughn's character and Colin Farrell get caught up in this mystery of Vince Vaughn's partner in his various business dealings, organized crime or legitimate or whatever, gets murdered, and it's and they get caught up in kind of the search or the mystery to figure out who the murderer is. So it's not it's merely just two police officers, it seems like, that are going to be chasing a murderer this time around. It seems as though it will be a detective played by Colin Farrell and some kind of organized crime figure played by Vince Vaughn. So I think that's – they're sticking with the idea of kind of the noir detective story, but they're taking it in a different way and incorporating different kind of much kind of different character dynamic this time around, it seems like. So I'm excited for that. Sounds interesting to me, for sure.
It does sound interesting.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell has a I like him.
Oh, I do too.
He's good actor. He's got that brooding quality, I think, that fits into the tone of True Detective.
Mm-hmm.
Or he can pull that off anyway.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the movie In Bruges? Have you seen that before?
Yes, I have, actually.
That's like... I love Colin Farrell in that movie. He's so good. So I'm looking forward to this. It's being a fairly new True Detective fan. I'm excited, but I sort of binge watch them. So
yeah, you just hope they get on with it already, because man, we're gonna have to wait for a while, right?
Yeah, it's gonna be like next
fall. It's not fully casted. They haven't even started filming yet. So.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be. The summer, at
so
least.
It's until way premature news, but
sure,
it's news for sure.
They got to move forward,
dude. We can announce news about Star Wars that's coming out like every single day, and that's
sure.
like ways away. So
that's a year and a half.
Totally. I have news.
Far away.
It's not news. Well, it is news. It's just a reminder that it's the 10-year anniversary of the premiere of Lost.
It is.
And
one of our favorite shows.
Excellent article on Grantland today about the power of and the wonder of Lost as a series and how it changed
television,
all for the better. And the writer of that column was lamenting the fact that, you know, leaving out the standout sort of pretty much viewing all of the best shows currently on TV as outliers, and that everything that is on broadcast TV currently is really safe and goes by a formula, you know, the 5 or 8 different NCISs and the CSI crap and the
Everybody's on either a cop show, a lawyer show, or a doctor show.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And so the idea that Lost was so revolutionary and transformative in terms of the medium and how it hooked people, and he rewatched this the author of this article on Grantland.com, rewatched the pilot, which I need to do because he said it's an extraordinary piece of television.
It might be the greatest pilot ever produced.
It's
easily
certainly the best one I can. Comes to mind. It's fantastic TV.
Yep.
And, you know, teed up a series that, you know, regardless of review of the end and the finale, which I will defend to my dying day.
Same. I will as well.
But regardless of how you feel about that, that show captivated people for its entire run.
We would gather as an entire family to watch season premiere and season finales.
Yeah,
like, we would make the decision to get all 12 of us in a room, and we would watch the finale and the premiere.
Was it on Sundays?
For a while, it was on Sundays. It got moved around.
It started on, like, Tuesdays. It was, like, a Tuesday night.
Right.
Yeah.
It started on Tuesdays, and then they moved it to a Sunday.
We were definitely gathering to watch.
Well, like, after a while, I remember going over, and I remember DVRing on your television, Christopher, and when we saw the shark swim by, when Sawyer
pausing it
to see the
Dharma
Initiative logo.
I remember that, like,
it was one of the serious. Best moments of TV watching.
That
in my
might have
life.
Been season so two. Cool. That might have been season two, but
it was so cool. Yeah, it was so. It's like, holy cow, they are effing with every one of us.
Yeah. And then we started talking about the like the polar bears, whether the polar bears have like a stamp on them too. You just can't see it.
Where they're teleported. Yeah. All the wacky theories about teleporting.
Oh my god, there were so many.
Was there a wormhole and shit like that?
There were so many theories about that show. Well, technically, there was kind of a wormhole theory, like weird thing with the island moving and them going back in time. Like, what was that all about? So,
well, a lot of weirdness. The interesting part about Lost was that it coincided with a stretch where we went to Comic-Con like 3 or 4 summers in a row.
And
we went to every single Lost panel.
We went to Lost panels
in Ballroom 20.
Yeah,
and we were there when Cruise and Lindelof and the cast and they would do stunts in the room.
And they would people who would line up and ask, you know, lore questions, and they would F with them every time. Every time. You'd ask, people would ask questions that there was no hope of them giving an answer. Exactly. And it was just a teed up, you know, they would just mess with people and never answer a question ever. Because people were asking, okay, what's the answer? And they're like, no, we're not telling you that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it was great. It was a great, great run. Great run of geek TV. It was a great run of geek TV. Yeah. Anyway, that was news that I noticed today that it was a great reminder of a great era.
Do we know it's Lost on Netflix?
Yeah, it was.
I need to watch that. I need to watch the pilot.
I'm not sure if it still is, but it was.
I have all the seasons on DVD and then Blu-ray, so I need to watch it again.
Yeah, for sure.
You sent us something, Christopher. This ship comparison thing.
Yeah, this DeviantArt. Yes.
This DeviantArt on DeviantArt. You know, the amount of work that went into this is staggering.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah.
Staggering. Anyway, we'll put the link in the show notes.
Yes. For all of you nerds out there, whoever wondered how a Super Star Destroyer from Star Trek or Star Wars compares to the size of the Star Trek Enterprise.
Even more obscure. I mean, that's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Wasp class ship from the United Federation of Planets, and how it compares to the Wasp class ship.
I'm like, there's so many little ships in this thing. We have to post this link on the website for sure, but it's hard to like find any, like there's so much detail to this thing. I mean, the big ships like stand out, but like there's some big ships in here.
I just noticed it's called the Starship Size Comparison Chart. By Dirk Loschel.
The Lex ship is in here.
Oh,
The Titan-AE ship is in here.
Every sci-fi genre you can think of that has ship. Warhammer ships are in here.
Yeah, it's
crazy. Star Wars, Star Trek, EVE Online is in here. Free Space. I'm just going through. Legend of Galactic Heroes, Battlestar Galactica.
Dude, Robotech stuff is in here.
Gundam ships are in here. The alien ships are in here. Halo ships are in here. Covenant Empire.
Ships that I thought were bigger compared to like these other ships, they seem like so much smaller. Like some of the Starship Enterprise, I'm just scrolling around and I see the Star Trek Ferengi Cruiser, Alliance.
Babylon 5 ships are in here.
Seriously. I mean,
that's dude, awesome. That's next level.
StarCraft ships, Wing Commander ships.
Dude, the Dune Spacing Guild Highliner jump ship.
Where is the Mass Effect ships? I want to see those.
It's near the bottom.
Near the bottom? God, there's probably like a couple of thousand different kinds of ships on this thing.
It's crazy. There's a ton of Mass Effect ships in here.
We'll post the link. Y'all can check it out.
Did you ever play Mass Effect, Christopher?
I played the first one.
Oh my god, what a great story those three those three. Oh, I see them. Okay, the Mass Effect ship. Wow, compared.
Starship Troopers ship.
Dude, they have Galaxar's ship from Monsters vs. Aliens in here.
Oh my god.
What? It's just a great... It caught my eye today. Doctor Who ships. I mean, it's awesome. It's
we'll
awesome.
Post this in the show notes. Everyone who listens can go to the show notes.
Yeah, we gotta save this link because this is like the Where's Waldo of like ships.
Oh, it really of course. Is.
If you're a sci-fi geek and you're into sci-fi,
there's
ships,
There's a V ship in here, Christopher.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
V ship.
The reality of it is that every sci-fi geek has their favorite spaceship.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'd be hard pressed to think of a ship that anyone would love that wouldn't be on here.
What's your favorite Stargate? What's your favorite ship?
I'm a huge Stargate fan, and the Stargate Gwold System Lords Anubis mothership is on the bottom, and that's just that's freaking awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Okay, Andrew, what's your favorite star? You know, ship? Some kind of science fiction
from
ship.
From this chart or
anything? Anything.
Anything. Honestly, I love the my favorite is the Star Wars from Star Wars. It first appeared in Return of the Jedi. It's the B-wing fighter.
Oh yeah.
It has the articulating cockpit and has two wings that fold down. It looks like, you know, it looks flat basically.
Mm-hmm.
But when it opens up, it basically turns into a T.
It's just like a giant wing. It's like a giant wing ship.
Yeah, but when it unfolds, it has two small wings and then a long tail.
Yeah.
And at the top of the ship, basically, is the cockpit. It's just a cool-looking fighter. And you don't get to see it in much action in Return of the Jedi, but you see it more in some video games and things like that. It's just a cool-looking spaceship, in my opinion. So that's kind of like my favorite.
I gotta go. Honestly, it's kind of boring, but I gotta go with this Dune Spacing Guild the Highliner jump ship.
Yeah,
because it's my all time favorite book.
Yeah. Where is
and
that
favorite sci fi universe?
Do you know where that's located on this chart? Do you
it's
see
the
it?
Big yes, black I've metal located. Cylinder in the middle.
Oh, that's the one! Wow,
the big giant tube. And
the Spacing Guild. Yes.
The Spacing Guild and the navigators that fold space in order to move that ship from one planet to another. It's freaking awesome.
That's huge. Awesome. Oh, my God.
And inside that ship, you can fit all of these other – and that's what they did. They fit thousands of other ships inside one of those ships and transport them between systems.
Exactly.
Cool.
Great stuff.
That's a cool concept. So that I understand. It's a plain looking kind of a ship, but it makes sense because this always bugged me about science fiction ships too, is like the need to make them look like planes.
Right.
Because like you don't need it to look like
there
a plane.
There's no resistance.
Right. There's no
resistance in space. So it doesn't have to be.
Right.
Yeah, it does not have to be streamlined.
It does
you don't
not
have to generate lift. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's
so
your
I like,
favorite, Patrick?
Oh, I'm trying to think. Like, I always had like kind of a soft heart for Slave One from Star Wars, just because I like the idea of like of how it like when it lands on its back and it kind of has that weird like it's standing up.
Yeah, no. The axis changes like 90 degrees.
Right. The cockpit is like facing up. I love that.
I have to say that you reminded me, Pat, that any of the Galactic Empire destroyers are badass. I mean, any of those ships, the design of those ships is just freaking
so
awesome.
Cool.
I just love them. Yeah.
Well, we could say objectively that the greatest spaceship ever in movies or TV is probably the Millennium Falcon.
Yes.
Objectively. We all have our favorites, but objectively, it's the greatest. It's the top of the heap.
Millennium Falcon
it's the most iconic.
I'm trying
the most iconic.
I would love to try to find the Slave One on here, but comparatively to everything else, it would be so tiny. It would be like a dot. Compared to all this stuff.
It's 50 meters, and I think there's ships on here that are maybe 200 meters.
This is a great chart.
Oh,
my God.
It's a great chart.
It really is.
I'm losing it with this.
Yeah.
Okay, we should dive into scene before we get
too far. We got a lot to talk about. Just because TV is back in full effect.
TV is back.
Almost back in full effect.
Almost back.
Shows that
it's starting to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we got Walking Dead starts in 2 weeks. I'm chomping at the bit for that.
And Arrow and Flash.
Let's just talk about this because I think we all watched it. What did we think of Gotham? Let's just start with
resident,
that. Get it out of the way.
Batman guy. Let's hear it.
I honestly I don't know. I'm final judgment. I was not overly impressed, but I was not underwhelmed either. It just seemed like, okay, there was some good points. Ben McKenzie's decent as the lead. I mean, I would have liked to see him being more heroic in a lot of ways.
Gordon is not the hero. That's the problem, Andrew. Like he's the Obi-Wan Kenobi of this universe.
Fundamental problem with the entire show.
Exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. He's not Batman.
He's not Batman. Yeah. And I mean, I'm going to give it a few more episodes to see whether or not it really sucks me in.
Here's a problem with this show. Like right off the bat, and I think Chris will agree with me, is like Gordon is just buying his time and he can't really affect anything. Like the first episode, like he's just doing what he can to like stay alive in this crazy world.
Yeah.
And waiting for Batman to show up. Like that's
we're all waiting for Batman.
Exactly.
We're all waiting for Batman.
Exactly.
He doesn't know it,
but like he can't do anything until Batman shows up. Batman is what he needs to shake things up in this city that's all corrupt and messed up.
Well, anyone who's aware of the world, here's the challenge for the makers of the show. Anyone who's aware of that world,
yes,
they know that Gordon's future is completely Sisyphean.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, right.
Completely.
And so we all know that. And so the only way the show works is if it's compelling in the rolling the rock to the top of the hill.
There has to be enough minor victories.
And if it's not there.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm with
you. And if it doesn't celebrate that and figure out a way for there to be victories and joy and moments of real like effort and transcendence in that rolling the rock to the top of the hill.
Yeah,
the show
roll back down.
It's going to roll back down anyway. And so we all know that. The problem is that if it's not compelling in terms of him rolling it to the top of the hill, it doesn't work.
Well,
it doesn't work at all.
Is it compelling? What did you think of the first episode? Did you enjoy it?
It's a procedural set in Gotham. Mm-hmm. It's a cop show set in Gotham.
Yeah.
The thing that they got 100% right, which will get me to watch episode 2, and this is God's honest truth.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm watching episode 2 of the show is I was moved by the Gordon Bruce Wayne moments of connection.
Definitely. Yes. Best parts
totally
of the episode.
Agree.
Best
Those
part.
Moments were
because
expertly
the
done.
Audience knows how the relationship is going to end. And you see – and that was the compromise that – and the alliance that Gordon made at the end of the first episode with Bruce Wayne foreshadows the compromise and alliance they will make when he becomes Batman.
I had chills. Yes. I had chills at that moment because holy cow, they just struck at the heart of what is ahead, right?
Yes. Right.
And
I
love that aspect of it.
Is that enough to watch it?
The trappings of it.
Is that enough to watch it?
It's enough to get me to watch episode 2, but that's it.
Completely,
right.
I agree.
That's it. And I'm troubled by the previews where they show young Bruce Wayne putting his hand through a candle and doing other stupid stuff. If that's part of this show is child Bruce Wayne sort of, you know, testing boundaries and figuring out fear and crap like that, and that – the show goes nowhere for me because that's 15 years away.
Right. right?
No, that's
and so are they going to time jump? How is that going to work? Because
yeah. No, how is it going to work? Is another huge issue. How is it going to work?
Oh my! If they devote like large chunks of the show to the Bruce Wayne as a kid figuring out how he's going to develop into Batman, that annoys the hell out of me, frankly.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So
when they could have gone in the direction that I talked about in like one of the earlier episodes, where they do like a teenage Batman, where he's training and he's like figuring out and he's like solving crimes every week.
See, I don't know if they could even do that. See, that's the problem, because they can't do that, because that's Smallville, dude.
That's Smallville.
It is.
And Smallville ran and way too long, and they played
and
games.
Already, but we've already
they played
seen
games
the
with him not being able to fly and do shit.
We've
like
already
that.
Seen the definitive version of the Batman origin story with yes. Batman Begins. It's yes. the definitive
yes.
version. It is.
I mean, there can be other takes on it.
I was a little disappointed with the Batman Begins origin, with the lack of showing him traveling the world and training with multiple people and figuring out lots of things. All they focused on a lot his fighting prowess and conquering his fear versus like him honing his mind.
Detective skills and right. all that. No, that's like, exactly.
There's
I agree
always
with that.
you gotta have a focus in terms of your narrative, and that was their focus.
Right.
We can talk about those.
Gotham's gonna struggle to different. It's gotta differentiate itself. And it's not going to – I mean, it's relying on Gotham as a character, right? I mean, that's the whole point of calling the show Gotham is that the city will be this character. And all of the moving parts within the city are all about figuring out where they're headed and sort of this examination of the existence of this place and the bad people in various shades of gray that exist in this place. And – It's just there was I'm not going to repeat this.
We're going to watch season 2. We'll track it.
Episode 2.
And we'll hopefully it'll have a purpose for us.
My two cents about this show is I was honestly pretty bored with the cop stuff, and every time they like did a hey, this is a Batman show nod, I like scoffed and rolled my eyes. Like,
it was annoying. They introduced all of those future villains. I was annoyed rather than,
that's cool.
Because there wasn't, other than the call out of the name, there wasn't anything that wasn't compelling about each of those individuals.
And they kept Edward Nygma. Don't give me riddles, Nygma. I was just like, seriously.
What's
his name? Well, the Penguin is outside and they call him the Penguin. And it's like, don't call me the Penguin.
This is why. Like,
really?
The comments from the showrunner.
We are the most.
Very much fear. I'm
we are
fearful
the most
of this.
Because that's a sign. That's who are going to be watching this show.
No, you see, no, Patrick, you're right
we're
on.
The least
you're right on. Because those lazy references.
Lazy.
Are a sign that the showrunner does not understand.
Here's a good segue into
this
the next
a,
show I want to talk
laziness.
About.
I got to do a call out to the fanboys.
Right.
And rather than making the characters compelling and then it emerges.
Yes.
Sort of they have character traits and qualities that immediately call them out as a future Penguin or a future Riddler. It is lazy.
Or the Catwoman. The Catwoman was
the
in it too.
The showrunner is going to rely on that crap.
Yeah,
those overt references that the fanboys will love this. No, that's not the point, and he doesn't understand.
Right,
which is why I think that the show is.
This is a segue into another show that premiered this week with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that premiered tonight.
Yes,
actually,
yes.
And I watched the episode and. There was the villain, the big villain of the week was the Absorbing Man, which I had to look up. I had to Google him because most of the episode they didn't say anything about him. It's like they just said his name. Yeah, and Marvel is doing this right because I didn't get it. I was like, who is this guy? Yeah. Oh, he's part of the wrecking crew. He's part of the wrecking crew.
But he was compelling,
right?
Because
yes.
of
right.
what he was able to do and how interesting he looked and stuff like that. Right. And the action sequences.
Oh my God, the action was so good,
compelling.
Yes,
it
yes.
was a good. It was a good premiere because it continued the energy of the latter half of the last yes. season. I liked yes. the fact that
I loved
that
it.
Same energy was there. Yeah. They did a good job of carrying that into this opening season, and I look forward to the they've teed up the Hydra villain, which is cool.
Who is that? Who is that, by the way? Who's White Hill or White Hall? I don't remember who that is.
I didn't look it up. Yeah,
Dr. White. I wasn't familiar with that character. That's probably like. But I love that Marvel is doing obscure stuff like that.
Yes,
that is like is and they're not like so like in your face about it. You know,
okay. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting season two levels of money now.
Yeah.
Like, I think Disney and Marvel were kind of like, okay, we'll see how this works for season one.
Right.
People complained about the TV-level special effects. This was an extremely polished, well-put-together, well-financed.
But the problem
special
with,
effects look
the,
great.
But the problem with the first, you know, 70% of season one wasn't the special effects, dude. It was the writing.
I'm just saying, this was a
in the pacing.
They didn't know. They didn't know what they were doing. They should have ramped up the story a lot faster. Yeah, season two is off to a bang. Like I'm in it.
I liked it.
I'm so in it.
I liked it. Yep, I liked.
Dude, when that I don't want to ruin anything for people who haven't watched it, but when that scene at the end where he touches the street.
I love that.
Oh my god.
It's a great action sequence.
Oh, it was so good.
I love it when they bring in he's got absorbing man powers, meaning he can grab something and he absorbs that thing's attributes. Well, of course he would figure out a way if he could turn himself into asphalt and be an impediment to a vehicle. That of course he would
so
do that.
Awesome,
that just makes
dude.
Sense. It's an interesting way to use his power. He's not just going to turn himself into stone and punch people.
Right.
There are some physics. You can't think too hard about that because there's some physics issues involved there.
Of course.
That's why he turns around. He turns into like a ramp. He makes his back like a ramp.
Yeah.
He deflects it, right?
It's what I'm saying. Yeah, I like that when they do that. So
yeah,
very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, no,
very,
I watched too. I am
it.
More excited about season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. than I am about season one of Gotham.
Totally, 100% correct.
Yeah.
Anything else that we've seen that we want to throw out, Chris or Andrew?
Doctor Who.
What'd you think?
Oh, the bank heist episode was great. One of the best ones yet.
You liked it, okay?
Of the Capaldi.
Okay, so I hadn't watched the second to last one by the time and the listen episode.
Yeah.
One of the best Doctor Who episodes I've ever seen. By the way, like. Probably top five ever.
Really? It was a
top
really
five ever.
Episode,
it was so well written, so beautiful, so intriguing, like asked the right questions, got you thinking.
Yep.
Fun and clever. God, it was good.
Totally agree. Totally
and like
agree.
In your mind and scary at the same time, like really like all the elements you want from Doctor Who. Everything was there.
Yes.
I was kind of disappointed with the bank heist. I thought it was okay, I guess. Not great, but also... I'm kind of worried that Picaldi is really good, and they're like really giving him like bad writing. Like I'm kind of disappointed with the majority of his episodes so far, and I feel like they gave a lot more effort with Matt Smith in his first few. So I don't know. I'm still on the. I'm worried that people are not going to like it because. The writing is bad, but they're going to say it's because of Capaldi not being good.
I would disagree and say that I don't think the writing, other than the Robin Hood episode, I don't think the writing is bad.
Right.
I think it's so different, and they're setting a totally different
tone. They are. They're taking chances. Yeah.
They haven't figured out yet Capaldi's comfort zone. of the Doctor. Maybe that's part of the point, is that they don't – he's not going to have a comfort zone. He is grouchy and edgy and, you know, he's not – you know, he's not YA Doctor Who.
Right.
And I think they're still sort of finding their way about that tone a little bit. So I think it's jarring for sure because he doesn't have the expository stuff that Matt Smith had in terms of the writing. He just doesn't. He's a lot more broody and existential. And so it's going to be – I think people got to be patient with them for them to figure it. At least that's where I'm at. I'm willing to be – I'm a huge fan.
I'm a huge fan, so I'm patient as well.
But I'm worried. If they don't find their voice and find his voice
– That's what I'm talking about.
It's going to be a problem.
You're saying what I'm talking about. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. Is that it for scene? Should we move on to Red?
Let's go on to Red.
Red.
Okay.
Yep.
Christopher, what have you read, sir?
I have read... shit, what have I read? I'm reading the Powder Mage book, and I'm reading Codex of Alera. I'm not done with each. Working my way through. And I enjoy them,
Which one is better?
The Powder Mage book is better.
Ooh,
okay.
The stage I'm at in the Powder Mage book it's gotten really interesting because they've gotten into some heavy lore aspects and suggestions that no spoilers, but suggestions that you know really compelling opening where there's a coup.
Oh, yeah.
And the leadership of the coup overthrowing and killing the king and his royal cohort. They do that, and then, you know, in the process of sort of getting the country under control, they are on the brink of war with a neighboring country, but they're also, as part of the effort to track down various loyalists to the king, they're also figuring out that there was this potential, and there's some believers that think that there's going to be the return of this mythological character and his like pantheon from the past
who might
appear and that there are the signs that it actually this thing might actually happen you can have a faith in this ancient
pantheon,
blah blah blah, but this people who are investigating some of the royal people in this conspiracy are figuring out that oh my god there are this thing that I was up against actually was and could be thousands and thousands of years old, posing as just a person with power in modern day, but she really could be one of the cohort of this ancient mythological being.
Whoa.
And, yeah, and so it's a...
far-reaching ramifications to their actions.
It is. It's really... And it took half the book. It took half the book to get to this point where they reveal this suspicion, and it's like, whoa, that is huge and compelling because it's
at the whole next level.
You have transformative moment in the first quarter of the book with the overthrow. It's just on the human level transformative moment, and then you're getting to this point where there might be a earth shattering.
How many books are in this series?
I think two written so far. The third one is coming out, or. I don't think it's out
have
yet.
Have you read enough without knowing the end whether you'll pick up book two?
I will.
Because it's well written enough and it's fun and you're enjoying it so far. That's good. Yes. That's a good sell right there.
I've been most of my free time has been actually playing games. So
I agree.
We've got a lot to talk about.
I read it.
Andrew, then, what have you read?
I finished my S.M. Sterling book. The ending was very weak and disappointing.
Oh, that series you love, too. That sucks.
I know. I hope – I'm going to – because I'm so involved in the world, probably read book two.
This is book one of a new series in this world.
A new series.
Right, okay. That's
the second generation after the change.
Second gen. So this is probably like what, 50, 60 years later?
It's change year 46.
Okay. Okay.
The change happened in 1998 in the calendar we understand it happened in 1998. This is 46 years after 1998. So,
okay.
Okay. So I was disappointed in that. Hopefully book two will be better. Anyway, besides the issue that came out today, issue 25, I am caught up with Batman Eternal.
Hey, are you going to send me those issues?
Yes, I have it sitting on my desk right now to mail to you. You're going to have a big wad of comics.
Don't worry, listener. I'm going to have a big wad of comics to talk about next week.
Yep, no, I will get those in the mail this weekend.
Sweet.
I
would like to thank.
I think I'm like two or three episodes behind.
I would like to thank Shannon from Samurai Comics for helping me.
All the threads for Batman Eternal are coming together. Things are getting revealed. The main kind of villain in the background has been revealed. Things are picking up speed. There was a lull kind of in the teens where you're just like, where is this going? But
now
they're in the early 20s and things are really starting to heat up. And
just
I'm
where
it.
I'm going
to
read, actually.
Good.
And I'm caught up with Invincible. Invincible 114 came out and kind of the arc that they're in right now is...
Okay, I have to ask something about Invincible. Because I heard something bad happens, because I haven't read anything after 100.
Okay.
And there's something that happens in the early 100s that I don't know if I want... Like, I don't know if you want to reveal to anybody who hasn't read it.
Okay.
But there's something bad that happens to Adam Eve, right?
Yes, very.
And it's like hardcore, and it's like, whoa.
It's quite hardcore.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not happy about that. That's such a good book.
A great book.
I care about that character enough that like I know what's going to happen and I haven't read yet and I'm like kind of dreading reading that happening just because it's like this is a fictional character. But I love the world is so good and the characters are amazing in that comic.
And it's stunning to think about the fact that two of the best comics going right now, The Walking Dead and Invincible, are being written by the same guy, Robert Kirkman.
So good. He's so good.
And he's involved in one of the best shows on TV, The Walking Dead.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad he's part of that. I hope he's making lots of money and he keeps
making dollars.
He keeps being rewarded for his hard work.
I'm pretty sure he is. Yes.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at with my read. I read a lot of comics this week, but like Christopher, I played a lot of Destiny last week. So
I would like to. I also played games, but I didn't really read anything. But I did something that is reading related that I would like to talk to you about for a second.
Okay.
I've gone on a binge of watching movies that are considered based on young adult books.
Okay.
That is like a trend currently, like Divergent.
Yes.
The Giver. Yes. And I went and saw Maze Runner.
I want to see the Maze Runner.
Okay.
I have not read the book. Don't go see the Maze Runner.
Matinee.
Okay. Of the three that I just mentioned, Maze Runner is by far the best. By far. Maze Runner is... I went in there with no prior knowledge. I haven't read the books. But when I walked out, I wanted to read the second book because it was so interesting. And I want... Here's a problem with Maze Runner.
What's the other you mentioned? The Giver and what?
The Giver, Divergent.
Divergent. You see that?
The girl in Divergent is so beautiful. That wasn't bad.
Shailene Woodley?
She is great. She's the best part of that movie, by far.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's the best part of almost every movie she's in. She's great, regardless.
She's a great actress. Like,
she's compelling.
Like this, what do you guys think of this, like, YA stint that Hollywood's going on with these three movies, obviously, in a short period of time, with The Hunger Games being so successful?
It's continuing the trend, dude.
Right.
They're going where the money is.
But they're not like breaking new ground. They're not going to make a sequel to The Giver. They might make a sequel to
The Giver is a one-off. The Giver was a one-off book, I think.
That's it?
Yeah, I think so.
I think there is a sequel, but not nearly as popular.
Yeah. Well, and even think about, and I just watched this.
But
movie
the others
earlier.
Are series. The others are series, and
right,
they're
right.
You know, of course, they bought that property.
Will they make Divergent 2?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, they're making Insurgent. Yeah,
Insurgent. That's what it's called. Yeah,
and Allegiant is book 3, right?
I think so. I haven't read it. Yes. I tried to reach Divergent when the movie got announced. It's not nearly as well written as The Hunger Games. The writer isn't as good, and I just couldn't get into it.
Hunger Games is not Hunger Games is like well written, but you don't feel like it's well written. It just feels like it moves so quickly. Yes,
yeah,
you just
no, it's compellingly written. It's right, well structured. Right.
I devoured those three books in like a month span.
Except for the first half of the third book is not good.
Oh, and that's what this movie that they just announced this trailer for, part one, is all about.
Nothing happens. It moves so freaking slow.
Well, yeah, Mockingjay part one will be
maybe they'll action it up a little bit in
Mockingjay.
The movie.
There are some set pieces. There are some set pieces where they go out and they attack some stuff, right?
Right. That'll be fun to see.
That'll be in the first movie, but it's really the last half of that book where everything
it's a lot off. Of. The first book of that, the first half of that book is a lot of Katniss and hiding.
Yeah.
It just gets so boring.
So boring. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to bring up that conversation because,
I think that Hollywood is kind of really, I mean, they've been mining comic book movies for content because they want young men to go to movies. A lot of YA readers are young ladies.
Right.
And now they're getting young ladies to go to movies. I mean, I mean, they're all the YA books, beyond the fact that like the sci-fi central character is a woman books,
mm-hmm.
They've been mining all this YA kind of romantic, If I Stay, or what's that one where the two kids have cancer? I can't even remember.
Fault or Stars.
That's a YA book too.
That's a YA book.
Yeah,
I will say this about Maze Runner, which is the best selling point for me. Very little romance, almost non-existent.
There's no triangle.
There's no like, oh, does he love me? Oh, he's so mean to me. Why is he so mean? I don't understand. There's too much of that in Divergent. Divergent is like, oh, he's so mean. Why is he so mean? Like,
I love him. He's so beautiful.
He's
looking.
So beautiful though. Seriously. I don't care about that. Yes.
Yeah.
But Maze Runner, great music, moving pace, like always going, kind of weak in some parts. The script is pretty weak.
Pretty thin.
There was some parts that they could have had a lot more fun with and been clever and funny, and they chose not to. And I saw that as a movie viewer where I'm like, oh, you could have put in a funny line right there that would have been more interesting. And they didn't.
Gotcha.
But very, very interesting. Makes you ask questions. You want to know the mystery. You want to have answers. I thought it was great. I would watch the second movie right now.
Okay. I want to go check that movie out. I don't know if I'll have time in the next week or two, but I want to go see it for sure.
Pleasantly surprised because I had like no expectations. But cool. Yeah. So
all right,
let's go into Played.
Yes.
So is this going to be like the Destiny segment of this program, like this podcast, because what else is there? Nope. Do we have anything else?
Diablo 3, dude.
Okay. Chris is still playing Diablo 3.
Every day for the past 5
Christopher, get it over with. What do you got to say about Diablo 3?
It's a great game, and the patch has made it better. And
yes?
Patch 2.1 with Legendary
Gems.
They
just did 2.11, didn't they? They patched it again.
2.11 changed the economy for Kadala. And lowered the cost of the gems to enchant your jewelry, but also increase the cost of blood shards for buying stuff from Kadala and gambling.
This is like next level.
Oh my god!
Anyway,
the economy in online games are they're a a thing. That is a
higher economist to deal.
They do Destiny's so economy. Intense. Destiny's so, economy anyway, like is impacted by how much you want to play the game.
The only change in my play with regard to Diablo 3 is I was almost playing exclusively my monk because she was the most fun to play. But after 2.1 and the legendary gems, I have started to play almost equally. I've gone back to my wizard.
Oh, yeah, the wizards are fun. Yeah.
I've got a cold build. I've got some of the Firebird set. Andrew, this means nothing to you.
Yeah.
I've got some of the Firebird set.
Yeah.
But I'm playing a cold build because I don't have the full Firebird set.
You want to know how this means less than nothing to me? Because it's making me angry listening to you. It's not even like I'm disinterested.
What's the four set bonus on that Firebird?
Six set bonus. Six piece bonus is 3,500% like meteor damage.
Damn.
Like I have.
That's crazy.
It's a dot. I don't remember exactly. I have the four piece bonus, which is a death.
That's good.
Death is a resurrection.
That's a lot though. Four pieces is good. Good job.
Well, I have the Ring of Royal Grandeur, so that gives me
Ring of.
Hey, it gives me.
This is a podcast for geeks. We're being geeky,
yeah, Andrew.
Shush.
You're not. You see, you're exposing yourself as a non-gamer, dude.
Oh, and we're getting deep right now. It's okay.
The Ring of Royal Grandeur lets you have three pieces of gear to get the four piece bonus. That's the benefit of the Ring of Royal Grandeur, right? I have that with the wizard and the monk. But with the wizard, I get the four piece Firebird's bonus, which is a death cheat. If you take damage that would kill you, you essentially a meteor falls on you and you resurrect. You don't die.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. But the six piece bonus is a huge jump in your damage, and it's a fire dot. And so if you get the six piece bonus, you probably need to play fire because all of your damage should then be fire based. And so right now I'm playing a cold build because of the weapons that I've gotten and the orb that I got. But I'm gathering armor to allow me to switch to a fire build.
Cool. That sounds awesome. Keep it up.
It's very fun.
Andrew, do you have any other games besides Destiny to mention?
I'm sorry. I was going to hang myself listening to you guys. I have the cord around my neck.
No, wait. Star Wars Commander is out on Android, so I downloaded that.
Did you get
that?
Yes. Okay, did you join our clan?
No, I'm rebel, dude. You Empire scum suck.
You rebel scum. That was my best.
That was nice. That was your nice best try. Imperial douchebag.
I'm trying to figure
that
out.
That guy's character name in that movie is Imperial Douchebag.
Absolutely. You rebel scum.
You rebel scum. So great.
It's a great game in and of itself because it uses all of the art.
Yeah.
It uses all of the sound.
Yeah, I know. So the sound is so terrific. Good. And the music, oh my God.
It is a game so that fun. Every Star Wars fan needs to play.
If you're a Star Wars fan, you should download this game. We're selling this right now. They're not paying us at all, and we are selling this game to you.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
You guys should start a clan, though, and be friends with each other if you guys are doing Rebels.
I want to be friends with Christopher.
We need to link up.
Yes, well, you get like benefits from joining a clan, dummy.
I don't want to be friends with Christopher.
I don't want to be friends with the guys making fun of my Diablo.
Yeah, let him talk about whatever he wants.
It might as well be me.
We don't make fun of you reading Princess YA books. Like,
yeah, of course you did. You made fun of me for half an hour.
Oh, we ripped on him.
Yeah, jackasses.
All right, fine.
All right,
Destiny. Who played Destiny? What do you have to say about it?
Well, I played Destiny. I actually grinded by myself for about 2 hours last night.
What is your – I'm doing air quotes right now. What is your grinding? What is that? Explain that.
I played the Cosmodrome, and I ran around and did some patrols and picked up missions from the Cryptarchs.
That's some grinding.
Not grinding?
Yeah, that's a grind.
You didn't do quests to in the story quests? You didn't do any of that?
No story quest. No.
I picked up missions from different factions, and I did those. And
have you gone to any other? What level are you? What's your character?
I leveled up to a level 9 last night.
Nice. I got to catch up with you guys with my character that I'm...
I hit 11, 11 tonight before the podcast.
Nice. Good job.
I tried the Crucible tonight.
Yes.
Got my ass handed to me.
My God, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got smoked.
Yeah.
So
did you get any kills?
Yes. And I got some assists.
Nice.
Okay.
But I was definitely the bottom of the charts.
That sucks. Did you get any gear from that?
No upgrades.
No upgrades.
I played last night, and as I was running around in the Cosmodrome, I was involved in a world event. They dropped a
Warsat. Warsat.
No, they dropped a Warsat, right? Enemy.
That's on the moon.
Essentially, was a
they
boss
do Warsats
fight.
On Earth too.
Oh, they do. Yeah.
Oh, where you gotta like kill an enemy and you gotta like a time frame to do so.
Yeah, I had 5 minutes to kill this giant robot spider.
Cool.
And I think I was lucky enough that I was in an area with many level 20s and above.
That was my level. I had tonight too.
Yeah,
I had to defend the Warsat. And we dominated because there was like 324s.
Nice. You know,
and I was able to participate and do enough damage and I got rolled up in smoke. I think in the span of 5 minutes of trying to kill this robot spider, I got killed 4 or 5 times.
But wow. I saw that in the previews of the game. I want to see that.
Well, the giant spider is part of the Devil's Lair strike at the end of one, which we haven't done together, but it's level 8. And once I get up higher with my warlock, we should try that.
Yes.
Because it's a lot of fun, and you have to fight one of those, and they have like a cannon on them. And like, this is true even if you eat, like, if he's level 8 and you're fighting him when you're like 15, he will one shot you because he has this cannon on him. That just like he shoots the laser at you and it goes and just you're dead. Right. Soon as you see the laser, you got to run. You just got to run. That's the only thing to do.
Get to cover.
We were able to defeat this Devil's Lair robot spider, and I got a golden tier achievement.
Nice.
There's some
bounties to get that stuff, and that gives you Vanguard marks, and it gives you and it gives you.
I got
you,
all that. Cool. So it was a lot of fun. It was, I played. I mean, I was having a lot of fun playing with the two of you doing strikes, but running patrols last night and just picking up missions.
The three of us haven't done a strike together.
No,
the
strikes are
strike
dungeons.
It's an instance dungeon.
Okay.
But we'll just do random quests.
Strike. The three of us need to do that strike.
Well, give me a little time to get my warlock up to like 10.
We play together. We'll play together.
Right. Once I get my warlock to 10, then we'll be pretty competent to do that, I would imagine.
Yeah, because Andrew and I tried that strike with a random dude.
It's hard.
I know
my way around that strike pretty well, so I can talk you guys through it.
We were underpowered for that strike.
Sure. It's a fun game. It's a very fun game.
It's a very fun game.
I like the mix of shooter and MMO.
This is like Borderlands, like Halo edition. That's what this is.
It's very fun.
I'm
getting better with the guns too. A lot more precision kills.
They started.
Me too. That kind of started clicking for me last night. I was getting a lot more precision kills last night. It was cool.
Have you guys seen that they started, I believe it was today or yesterday, the Queen's Wrath event that has been going on? This is going to go on for a couple weeks. It's going to go to October 3rd, where it's like random. It's a bunch of bounties for her. You gain rep with the Queen. She has gear that you can buy from her.
And here's my problem with that, though. Is I'm not farther enough in the game to even know who the queen is, dude.
Right. She's the queen of the Awoken, and you go and visit her.
And I'm an Awoken.
You're an Awoken, Yes.
My character is an Awoken.
They are
so eventually
are
in the
faction.
Story, the queen shows up.
They are a faction in the storyline, and she's she plays a very small part in it. She basically sends you to go off to do something because she has all information that you need, and so she has you kill something for her.
I
to get the information, but that's
I think
like,
I got the preview of that.
She's just barely in it. Yeah.
All right. All right.
But yeah, she's
and it, that's good. And characters of any level can take advantage of this queen event.
The quests are like for the bounties for the queen.
Yeah.
Are pretty simple. Like I did one that was get. I think it was like 50 assists in Crucible. So you don't have to do it in one round, obviously.
Yeah.
But like you just have it, and then you go into the Crucible and try your best, and you get assists. Or one of them is like get 200 headshots against the Fallen, precision kills against the Fallen. So you grab that one, and you go do some quests. You do some patrol on the Cosmodrome, and you just
kill. Is that given by the bounty giver?
The bounty giver has the Vanguard ones, and he has Crucible ones, and now he has the Queen's Wrath ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he's got, and you can still only hold 5. I would like to talk about that, actually, because on my higher level character, I have 2 exotic weapon bounties, which are quests that require me to do something, and if I achieve the different levels of these bounties, like there's 5 or 6 bounties upon bounties that I have to do that will give me an exotic weapon if I finish them.
Okay.
So, but I have 2 different ones and I have to work on them. And they take up a spot for my bounty,
and it's a design. Interesting design choice because 5 just doesn't seem like enough.
Well, they don't want you getting all of them and then just like working all of them. Like they want you to pick and choose like certain ones. But it's just true. Sucks that I have those 2 exotics that, like the quests that I have to do right now are hard. Like it's not like go kill 200 guys. Like one of them is I have to break down 10 rare fusion rifles. Rare. Like the blue ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
And I've broken down 3 since I've gotten it, but like I have to wait until I get rare ones to get it. Like, I'm sitting on this quest, and it's like the only way to do it is to get rare fusion rifles.
Those rare things... do those rare drops happen with more frequency the higher
once,
level
once you
get
to 20,
Patrick?
Like, blues, like, are coming out... the yin-yang. Like, they're all over the place.
Because I'm almost fully geared out in greens.
That's
right
good.
Now.
For where you're at, that's fantastic. Like, if you had mostly greens and maybe one blue, you'd probably be, like, ahead of the game. Mm. So, like once you get to, like, higher teens, you should have more blues. If you're still rocking greens or whites when you're higher teens, like, you're a little undergeared, I would say.
You had some bad drops.
When I got to got to 20, I was full blues. I had no purple. Like guns, blues, and
all right. I've got a purple gun. It's pretty awesome.
You got a purple gun?
Oh yeah, sucker lays fire down. Well, I know it's an orange. I'm sorry. Do I have an orange or a purple?
No, you probably have a gun that has elemental.
Type.
Yeah, you have an elemental
damage
type. Yeah,
you're right. I'm sorry.
My bad. The rareness of the weapon is what I'm talking. Yeah. Like all shotgun and sniper rifles and like they have a elemental damage and that plays later into hardcore
You gotta pick the right weapon for the defenses
because,
of the enemy.
Exactly. We're coming into this problem with my guys. My friends we were playing with where we were fighting hive knights that had blue shields and we could only damage them if we had arc weapons. And like you could still damage them, but it was really hard to get
there.
It takes forever
to wear them down. Yeah.
So it's just a fun game. I'm enjoying the crap out of it.
I am too. I even enjoyed playing by myself last night. It was I was surprised that I actually enjoyed it.
It's a good
by
time.
Myself. Good.
Good
time. Good. There's some cool stuff that you can do by yourself. And there's a lot of cool stuff. I'm working on some of the Crucible stuff too, but I still get smoked too, Christopher, so don't feel too bad. But I mean, you got to play the right time of day, I would say.
When I was playing, it was prime time, all of the 18-year-olds who have nothing to do but play Destiny for 10 hours a day.
Right, right.
They were all playing it. They were all kicking my ass.
Let's start off with Andrew's trivia
question.
You've
seen a girl naked, though, Christopher, so just remember that. In real life, on the computer.
Dude, you've seen a real life naked girl?
Yeah.
You have. Real life? Good job, buddy.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Andrew, trivia question. What do you got?
All right. This week's trivia question comes from the fact that I have recently watched parts or all of the two movies that we're going to talk about in the trivia questions.
Okay.
Two of our most favorite movies among the three of us are The Shawshank Redemption and Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World.
Yes.
Both of those movies were recently on cable, so it got me thinking. Both of those movies, in their respective release years, were nominated for Best Picture.
Uh-huh.
And they lost.
Oh.
Tell me, and there's eight films that are possible answers to this question. I want the winners of the respective years for Shawshank and Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Who did they lose to? And if you can give me any of the other Best Picture nominees that also lost in those years, you get full credit also.
Ooh. Can you give a clue as to the Master and Commander year?
In terms of what year it was released?
I know, yes. The year it was eligible for winning the Oscar.
It was the year. I'm trying
that'll
to think just, of
it. That'll help me think of the.
I'm trying to think of a good reference from that year that you'll be able to pinpoint it immediately.
Just give us the year.
Okay, I'll just give it. It was 2003.
Yeah.
2003. Okay.
So, Shawshank Redemption lost to Forrest Gump. I know that.
Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump.
Which is a freaking.
It's kind of a
And the other movie that was competing was Pulp Fiction.
Christopher is absolutely correct.
Wow. What a. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Master Commander, what did Master Commander lose to?
Yeah, 2000.
But before we go to that, 1994, the five pictures that were nominated: Shawshank Redemption, Forrest Gump, One, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction,
wow.
And Quiz Show.
Oh,
I would argue
show.
That all of four of those movies are better than Forrest Gump, in my opinion.
Quiz Show
no,
is not that
no
good.
No question all four of those movies are better than Forrest Gump.
Dude, Forrest Gump is heartwarming as hell, you cold-hearted mothers. Like, seriously? That it just like
I hate that movie so much.
It tugs
dude.
At your heartstring. It tugs
hate
at
it.
Your, you guys yeah. are soulless.
Those,
you both
those,
are soulless.
The attempts to put Forrest Gump and all of these scenes and the
dude,
it's
beautiful.
So jarring and lame.
Robert Zemeckis,
you know, Robert Zemeckis trying to be
he's
cute.
He's so good.
It's so it's annoying.
Cutesy. It's so very cutesy, but it's fun. And Tom Hanks is just lovable.
Yeah,
you just love him.
Yeah.
But Shawshank Redemption should have definitely won. Or Pulp
definitely
Fiction.
Won.
Because Pulp Fiction is one of the greatest movies ever made.
It really is.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction is unique.
Pulp Fiction is a uniquely made, fantastic movie.
Yes.
That is for sure.
Okay. So 2003, the year Master Commander was nominated and lost. What movie did it lose to?
Give us, as part of a clue, give us one of the other nominees that
didn't win.
One of the other nominees that didn't win?
In 2003.
Yes.
In 2003?
So I can get a time
Mystic
frame.
River.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Man. I'm drawing a blank on 2003.
I'm drawing a blank on 2003.
Yeah.
I was too, like, young and, like...
Other nominees.
Other nominees?
Yeah, and then the winner.
Seabiscuit.
Wow.
Wow, 2003.
Good movie.
That's a good movie, too.
The last losing nominee was Lost in Translation, which I have never seen, by the way.
That is a great movie.
Is it really that good?
Yes.
There's a lot of, like, point your camera out of a taxi cab and drive around Tokyo scenes.
It is kind of artsy. It is kind of artsy.
It's very artsy.
Bill Murray is fantastic.
Bill Murray is lovable.
They are both fantastic.
And young, really young Scarlett Johansson is fantastic in it. So,
yeah.
Okay.
And the winner.
Who won?
The winner in 2003, the Best Picture winner in 2003, was The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Okay. The least good of the three.
I
think they gave it to him. They gave it to him because
for the full body of work,
right. They gave it to him because he needed to win for one of them.
Well,
and it was
Fellowship and Two Towers were both nominated for
it is
best picture in their respective years.
I think it's slightly better than Fellowship.
Slightly better than Fellowship.
Yep.
See, I think Fellowship is my favorite one. The music is on point. The scene with the Balrog is so good. The points, the parts, they all have extremely strong, they are so good.
You would not believe how perfectly that tees up my supplemental trivia question, boys.
Here we go.
Let's hear it. Let's hear your trivia question.
To my supplemental trivia.
I'd like to hear it. Let's do this.
This is a callback to the episode where I was appalled that you fools have not read the books.
Oh, okay.
And so this question, it's one of many that I will be asking in this podcast and in future podcasts until you...
We're going to have multiple trivia from Chris.
Until you dumbasses read the book.
Oh, okay. These are Hobbit-related trivia questions.
Lord of the Rings. Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, bring it.
What is the age of majority for Hobbits?
60.
No Googling.
I didn't Google.
60? You must read it.
60.
60?
No.
Here's the point.
Hold on. I'm not giving
you the answer. This is the beauty of this supplemental trivia question. I am not giving you the answer. You have to read the frickin' book.
You gotta tell us the answer.
Nope, not happening.
I will say this. Bilbo, because of the ring, aging him, isn't he 100? And something?
He's 111.
111th person.
Yes, yep. Exactly in The Lord of the Rings. He says that in the movie.
There are hobbits who live to that age, but they are all shriveled and really old.
Yeah.
He hasn't changed at all, really.
Yep. Yes.
So they're suspicious of him. But anyway,
one ring.
The clue with regard to the age of majority is that he and Frodo share a birthday. So they are also celebrating Frodo's birthday in the... opening of The Lord of the Rings, the book.
Yeah.
Huh.
The long expected
You will find the answer to my trivia question.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Being chapter.
So we have to read The Fellowship of the Ring? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's all one book. It was divided for marketing
publishing purposes.
Oh.
But yes, if you want to break them into... the three books.
How long is that book if he wanted to do it as one?
Long.
It's 1,000 pages, I think.
Yes.
Well, that's like a George R. R. Martin book. So it would have been one book.
Yes. I'm looking at my copy of the single volume Lord of the Rings.
What times have changed? When we talk about our generation and how short attention spans we have. Back in the 40s when they released The Lord of the Rings,
created a whole world.
Yeah. But
I did it in 1,000.
They divided up that 1,000 pages of story.
Yeah, they did that. They did that in re-releases in order to make more money, obviously.
Right, right. Because
you can sell three books instead of one.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's my supplemental trivia question, boys.
All right, fantastic.
Read The Fellowship of the Ring and we'll get the answer to the trivia.
I like it.
I welcome any comments to the podcast that will give me the answer. You have to demonstrate to me that you did not Google the shit in order to get
this
the
is
answer.
The honor system here. We're in the honor system.
We're honest people on this podcast.
So if you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia question, you can email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. If you'd like to email Christopher about his trivia question, you could email him at brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. If you should follow us on Twitter at brothers_geek.
Wisdom of the ages coming out of that.
Wisdom,
100%.
We will post the spaceship link on that Twitter, and we'll post it on the site. So if you're curious about that, you should look at that. You should visit us at brothersgeek.com because it's awesome.
It is.
Yes.
And it is.
And only getting awesomer.
Awesomer. Anything else, gentlemen? Oh, I have something to mention. I forgot to mention this a couple weeks in a row. Legend of Korra Season 4 is coming back October 4th.
Whoa.
Do you guys hear this? Like, nice.
Is it going to be online only?
I think so. I think they're going full online with it. But I was super pumped about that and how much I've talked about Legend of Korra.
I need to get caught up.
Oh my god, it starts
up. I really
up,
need to get caught up.
I don't know why they did a short break and then they're starting back. I don't care. As long as they keep making them like this, it's very cool.
Yep.
I have to say one thing. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast.
Oh.
The Kevin Smith episode.
Yeah.
Okay. He was on promoting his movie Tusk.
Zero desire to see that movie.
Zero desire to see
that. Actually, lots of desire to see that movie. I want to see that.
I think Kevin Smith is abhorrent. I'm not a fan.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Christopher, finish your story.
Anyway, the part of their discussion was Kevin Smith expounding about how he does what he does. Part of what he does, is to encourage people to find their voice and do their thing. Like and the podcast discussion and Hardwick does this a lot, where he's talking about go out and make your thing, do your thing. And one of Smith's sort of loves is his whole podcasting sort of network that he's put together. He's on multiple podcasts and he loves doing that. And it was a very sort of reaffirming sort of idea that harkens to us and what we're trying to do with this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is that it was like, just go out and do it. If you've got an idea, you know, and like Patrick, you got together the gear and you got the know-how and this was – and you know, we talked about it and we're making it happen and we're doing our thing. And it was a strong reminder to me, and it really touched sort of that notion, and this is why we do what we do, because zero people could be listening to this. And this is part of Smith's. This is part of Smith's point that he's making about Tusk is that he makes the movies he wants to make at this point. He doesn't really give a shit if he's careful about the budget. It's going to make money, but that's not the point. He's putting out there. He's putting out stuff that he wants to do.
Right.
And it made me think of that's exactly what we're doing, boys. Is that we're making this thing and putting this out there and having a good time doing it. And that just made me feel good about where we're at and what we're doing and what the future holds for sort of what it is we do and how much fun we have doing it. So,
Well,
that was a great moment this week.
That's a great note to end on. So, thank you for listening.
And Han shot first.
I've heard that.